Shabbat shalom. There is a scene in Sondheim's musical, Into the Woods, that has remained with me over the years. Cinderella has finally shrugged off the tyrannical rule of her stepmother and the scorn of her stepsisters. She has gotten her prince, moved into the palace, and found her happily ever after. So you might think the show would be over. But just as the curtain closes, Cinderella pokes her head out of the fabric and sings two words that begins a whole new journey. The words are, "I wish." The very same words that we had heard all of the characters sing at the beginning of the show. "I wish, more than anything, more than life," they emoted as they reached for their own slice of happiness. For behind all of these wishes was the meta wish for the feeling of joy. And we are not so different. We too reach, search, and even twist ourselves into pretzels in the quest for joy. Being happy is a life goal for many of us. So how do we find joy? Psychologists say happiness is the alignment of expectations with reality. And the closer these two things are, the greater our experience of happiness. Economists find that while money can make some people happy, this generally only applies for whom more money would enable basic needs like food, shelter, and access to medical care. In fact, Nobel Prize winner Daniel Kahneman claims that once people reach a little beyond the average middle class level income, even large financial increases do not lead to any significant increases in happiness. Biologists tell us that four chemicals in our brains make for happiness: dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins. Yet, we are sophisticated and experienced enough to know that being in a state of happiness is not really something that we can choose. In fact, it seems that the more we strive to be happy, the more elusive the feeling can be. It's like trying very hard to fall asleep. The more effort we put in, the harder it actually gets. And as a result, many of us find ourselves picturing that we will be happier in the future, or imagining that we were happier in the past, or that we might be happier if we were with other people or doing other things. As a persecuted community, Jews have known unspeakable sadness and hardships over the centuries. And so, happiness is all the more valued and cherished. Judaism has much to teach us about happiness. As the psalmist said, "Happy are those who dwell in the house of Adonai." In other words, our happiness is tied to our spiritual state. When we are open to connecting to what is holy within ourselves, as well as looking for what is holy within others, we may find our focus will shift, like a sibling who lets go of a long-held argument to embrace his sister. Our perspective will change as we filter out the things that get in the way of spiritual connection. Think about a partner who risks letting himself be vulnerable, sharing his innermost thoughts with his mate. These moments of connection are so deep that they are spiritual experiences. Such moments can also happen when we are alone, admiring the awesomeness of waves roaring on the beach, or the feel of perfect weather, or the sound of a song that touches us deeply. When we find moments of spiritual connectedness, we open ourselves to feeling whole. This leads to a kind of deep happiness and a sense of well-being. In the Zohar, it is noted that the same letters are used for the word besimcha, to be in a state of happiness, and the word machshava, which means thought. The kernel of this teaching is that happiness is linked to being mindful of our thoughts, to being awake to the moments in which happiness is available to us so that we can experience it. When we are fully present, we are able to see the myriad of good things that happen throughout the day and to let these experiences open our hearts with joy. This past week, we may have noticed another instance of Manhattanhenge, in which the sun sets in direct alignment with the crosstown avenues. The sunset is literally framed by the cityscape, and beautiful pinks, purples, and golds shine momentarily through the streets. Many people stop and admire the view, snapping photos. Yet we experience similar sunsets all the time. Maybe they don't align to the streets in the same way, but the dance of light is always available to us on clear days when we allow ourselves to be present for more moments in our lives. We receive more moments as presents. Serve God with happiness, says the psalmist. When we take on mitzvot and observe God's commandments, we lay out a foundation of joy. As Rabbi Arthur Green aptly said, a mitzvah is a place where you can meet God. Of course it makes you happy. When the Israelites wandered through the wilderness for 40 years, some were given the task of carrying the holy ark. A bystander remarked, "How heavy that ark must be, with those massive stone tablets inside of it." One of the carriers replied, "It isn't heavy at all. The ark carries those who carry it." When we fulfill a mitzvah, we are lifted, raised up. Think about how it feels to share your meal with someone in need, or donate your time to a worthy cause. We experience a sense of happiness of being useful and an agent for good in the world. In Genesis, we read, "It is not good for one to be alone," and Eve is created. Happiness is often found in community. Our lives are intrinsically woven into each other's in a finely balanced web of connections. Our happiness is most often defined by relationship. As Jews, we mourn, celebrate, and pray in community. And with this comes the potential for rejoicing with others. When we gather in community, we break out of our isolation. We are seen, we are heard, and we are lifted up by others. Who is wise? One who is happy with their lot, say the sages in Pirkei Avot. Integrating a practice of gratitude can help to cultivate joy. Rather than seeking to be in a state of joy, Judaism teaches us to be active. We are told to rejoice in Shabbat. Rejoicing is an active process. We achieve happiness through action. On Shabbat, we set the stage for rejoicing with food, drink, and community. We offer prayers of gratitude. We beautify our surroundings. We sing heartfelt melodies of thanks together. And in doing all of these things, we enhance our potential for happiness. There are times when we cannot do this, when it is perfectly right to sit with our sadness and anger. But on occasions when we can actively embrace happiness, whether through a sense of gratitude or appreciation or connection to others, we achieve happiness. So when you find yourself saying, "I wish," like Cinderella, or similarly, "I want," think about getting in touch with your spiritual self, or connecting more with others, or being present to a sense of gratitude. As the psalmist wrote, "This is the day that God made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Shabbat Shalom.